one point in time, Cyndi Lauper and Madonna were neck and neck for the title of Queen of Pop. Madonna eventually won, but Cyndi Lauper was praised for helping turn wrestling from the fringe sport it was to a mainstream TV phenomenon. And what did Madonna do for wrestling? Nothing.
Today, James Mansfield, who became viral for tumbling on the mat on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, joins us to take a look at the wild world of wrestling. She's starting a new video series covering wrestling from a drag perspective with her gal pal, Sylvia Nix. Listen as we chat with James about what televised wrestling and drag have in common.
Plus, how to get ready to slay the contestants if you're going on Camp Wanakiki, Drag Race, Dragula, or Cooking with Drag Queens.
And camping with reality TV show contestants on Alt for Norga.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun!
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello?
Hi, is this James Mansfield?
Oh, just a moment. Let me go get him. Hey, guys.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm doing great. What is going on?
Honey, I'm ready to rumble.
Who ain't shit?
Ready to take you into the mat and throw you down hard.
Is it Friday already? Good lord.
Have you been? It's been a while since we last saw you rolling and tumbling on the mat on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, I've been fabulous. I mean, if you guys actually, like, you know, paid attention to me and had me on the show every once in a while, you'd know more about me.
Oh, well, we don't have to do the show.
You've had my vases on like 70 times since then.
You're always welcome. Just send us what you want to talk about.
Oh, that's good to know.
Your talking points are the key to getting on any talk show, to getting on any kind of media exposure. You just have to write to them and say, hey, this is what I'd like to talk about. This is what's interesting to me. And
For the record, yeah. With Vivacious, yeah. It's not that we have her on the show, is that I temporarily stop talking to her in order to tape this podcast.
They literally talk hours every week.
We're on the phone probably like 50 or 60 hours a week. And, you know, and I like it that way.
Mm-hmm. Unrelated to anything, after that whole debacle with me happened.
What happened with you? Oh, that's right. The two of you guys were lethal, mortal enemies, just like Cyndi Lauper and the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, you said her drag was terrible or something. You were said, but you were like vivacious but pretty. What was the thing you said?
It was a joke. I said basically, I'm walking art like vivacious, but not like vivacious because I'm pretty or some shit like that. It was like 2 years ago. Who remembers?
Well, granted, you don't look like an HIV virus. So, but you know, every time I see her costumes with all this
spice, I don't look like a walking kushling, but I mean, she's fabulous. I love her. But no, yeah. Fausto gave me her number and she got really mad at you about that.
Oh, why? You called her to apologize?
Oh, I called her just to hash things out, to explain to her I was kidding and that it's all in good fun. Like, we're sisters, we're drag queens.
Oh, I didn't realize I got into trouble because of that.
I thought I told him don't give my number out. Like, all under her breath. It was amazing.
Oh, she was probably just teasing. I'm sure she was glad to hear from you.
Oh, she was fabulous. She kept me on that phone for a good 4 or 5 hours.
Those people that come from these little islands have big mouths and they talk a lot.
Who are you talking about, me?
You. I call Vivacious and Fausto the island girls.
Well, I'm going to leave that to you and you only to say.
But on Camp Wanakiki, we didn't realize that you and Sylvia Nix are besties.
Besties, putting it lightly. I mean, I tolerate her from time to time. No, I'm kidding.
But no, I mean, right? Because you made a little testimonial video when she got eliminated for her.
Oh, I sure did, because I found out me and her had something in common. We both managed to make first place on the reality competition shows we entered in.
Yay!
First in what?
You know, just being the best. That's the way I rationalize it is. You're just far too talented, and they have to get rid of you to keep a competition fair.
Well, hold on a second. I'm just realizing right now that on Camp Wanakiki, which was the drag queen summer camp competition, and actual RuPaul's Drag Race, the two of you guys both got eliminated in the first in your season. So
look at you. You're so perceptive. I'm proud of you.
I'm just realizing right now that maybe they cast Sylvia for that purpose, for that reason.
Are you insinuating that reality TV is fixed or predetermined?
I want to just say this for the record for all drag queens who get on any reality TV show. You're a guest in their house.
So take off your damn shoes and show some respect.
That's right. If they want you to tumble and break your kneecaps and all that stuff, you break your kneecaps, you know? It's like, I mean,
that's what it was. Reason. I didn't want to hurt myself, so they had to send me home.
It was Eureka who was on crutches, right?
Oh, yeah. She was damn near unable to walk. So, I mean, she's fine now. The knee works now.
She got two seasons out of it, you know?
Exactly. And she's going to be on that little Holloway special. She's doing good.
But, I mean, would you really have wanted to come back on the next season of RuPaul's Drag Race and start fighting with the Vixen? I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
I wouldn't have me and her get along.
But, I mean, they needed to have a foil.
Foil.
That's what wrestling is about, right? Today's show is all about wrestling from the early ages of Greco-Roman oiling them up to the Turkish delights, which they still do to this day, to Cyndi Lauper in the 80s, who mainstream wrestling, Andy Kaufman in the 70s, who challenged women to wrestle each other, and somehow wrestling is bigger and badder than ever it is. And now you're into wrestling again.
Oh, I've never stopped being into wrestling. It's just it's more out there now because I have a public forum to talk about it. But no, I loved wrestling going all the way back to the 90s when it was really outrageous and really racy.
How old were you in the 90s?
Five.
You want my real age? I mean, I guess when I was watching wrestling, I was about seven.
Okay.
So you were like me as a kid watching a lot of the Cyndi Lauper generation of watching Mr. T.
Cyndi Lauper?
Captain Lou Albano, the Iron
Sheik.
Was
it when you were in college?
No, honey. That's 80, 82, 83,
me,
84.
This is how crazy it was. Me and my friends used to imitate those wrestlers. And I was like, I don't want to get hurt. So we would pretend like we were wrestling, but we wouldn't hurt each other.
You would simulate almost sort of like how wrestlers do actually wrestle.
Well, with wrestling, you know, a lot of that stuff, it is staged, but it's not really choreographed ahead of time. But, you know, they kind of are instructed sometimes, okay, he's going to do this move next, you know, so we'll be prepared for it. But, you know, it still hurts. These guys are hurt all the time, and that's the thing. Oh, is what makes it, if you can be a good wrestler or not, can you be hurt and still fight? Can you continue? Because like me, if I got a bloody nose, I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Well, a lot of that like injury prone wrestling really started in like the mid-90s when it really started to get more extreme, was the term they used. And there's lots of these indie-rific moves where people are going out of their ways to do theatrics and jumping off things and throwing themselves through furniture. Things you never had to do in the 70s and 80s.
What's the biggest injury you've ever sustained as a drag queen?
Oh, for me? I'd say I actually injured my knee in Ireland when I did a knee drop on a stage that they didn't tell me ahead of time that was solid steel.
Oh, shit.
I'm sitting in the airplane, you know, that long flight, trying to prop my knee up properly. It was bad.
You got to ice that shit. You have to ice it as soon as you have any kind of injury like that. Ice. 3 times a day for 20 minutes.
I didn't know that.
Well, and not ice in your cocktail.
No. And, you know, and the thing is, though, too, is like people don't realize it's like it can make a huge difference what kind of surface you fall on. That's why like dancers typically, you know, dance on like a wooden floor because it has a little bit of give.
It also teaches you to like really reevaluate the things you do in your performance, because like I was doing that knee drop and it wasn't getting a huge rise out of people. So you take it out of the act because it's dangerous and it don't work.
A lot of people don't realize that Glorious Ladies of Wrestling, that's the Netflix series, was actually based on real women and a real series that happened in the 80s. Did you ever get to catch that on television?
I didn't get to catch it because I wasn't alive for it, but I always knew the background of it because the man that directed it was actually married to Jane Mansfield.
Oh,
really? Mickey Haggerty, or was it somebody else?
Matt Simber, who directed Orson Welles' last film, Butterfly. He made a lot of really trashy films in the 70s and 80s, where basically it's just Pia Zadora being naked for 90 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, the one that she won the People's Choice Award for?
I don't. Oh, Butterfly. Yeah, that was widely panned, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
So did your interest in wrestling stem from your interest in your drag inspiration, Jane Mansfield?
Not so much like with GLOW, yes, because I was always fascinated by anyone that had association with her. So I dug more into it and I found out her son actually used to do commentary for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. But that's all neither here and there. I was always a fan of it just because, well, look at it. How could a gay man not be a fan of wrestling?
You know, wrestling, just like Drag Race, is very similar in that a lot of people who are sort of on the fringes or struggling with their entertainment careers get into it in hoping that they'll have some sort of media boost and propel them into superstardom. So a lot of the big names of wrestling or in drag are people who were relatively unknown until they got into their television program.
I can see where you're going with that. That's a bit loaded, but I mean, most people have a passion for it beforehand, but with professional wrestling, a lot of people get into it. It's sort of like drag in that regard where you get bit by the bug. Mm-hmm. Once you try it, you can't think about anything else. You want to keep doing it. For me, like, I parlayed into it because I had mutual friends that were fans of Drag Race, mm-hmm. and I actually got to do some valet work for wrestling, and it is a really great subculture that blows your mind, like all the rules people follow in it and the protocol and the respect you have to have for the industry. They call it the business, where it's like you have to respect the business and make sure you take care of it. And it's a lot of like the same rules and understandings I have with drag, where it's like you have to take care of it, you have to protect it.
Well, they're pageants, right? I mean, the contestants, the personalities are literally battling each other for prizes and trophies and medals.
Yeah, very similar. It's just set up differently and, you know, packaged differently. But a lot of the same standards are there and a lot of the same ideas and ideals still hold up there.
I'll tell you this. If you go to the Arnold Expo in Columbus, Ohio, or DragCon in Los Angeles, they're sometimes indistinguishable.
DragCon LA this year is going to be the same weekend as IML. So all those queens that are into leather and into drag are going to be like,
choices. Wait,
we're going to lose Violet. We're going to lose Vander. Gosh, what are we going to do?
No, but I mean, seriously, like there's, you know, just like at DragCon, there are, you know, people go in there at 10 in the morning and at 3 in the afternoon, they get to meet one drag queen and pay, you know, $80 to meet her. It's the same thing as on some of these wrestling.
I ran a phone with you. Excuse you. No, I'm kidding.
For some of these wrestlers, it's the same experience. You know, the fans tend to be teenagers or young adults, and they drag their parents along, and they're like, oh, my God, I get to meet Steve Austin or John Cena.
They do the convention circuit, too, after their careers. Like, I actually met Melina, one of the WWE former women's champions, at DragCon. I've met her a couple of times now. I've formed a fabulous friendship with her. Like, she loves it. She's getting all the girls to come over and do it now.
Well, drag queens and wrestlers sort of get it. They understand that the theatricality and the costume is a great way to get an audience quickly excited about who you are, even if they don't necessarily understand what you're about.
Yeah, it's all heightening your persona. It's all in a form of like a smaller version of acting. It's more weirder. It's hard to explain. It's like wrestling's one of those weird subcultures where people watch it knowing for like throughout that it's not real. It's fictionalized, but they look past it because they get lost in the storytelling and they get lost in the escapism of it all.
And we're talking about wrestling, not drag, right?
Well, kind of
wrestling. Right? I mean, drag, I guess, a certain way for some performers, they are giving you an illusion that they want you to be lost in, but that's a very old school way of approaching drag.
And then so because of you and Sylvia doing the series, it seems like a match made in heaven.
Oh my goodness. Me and her clicked really well. Like, I decided I don't want to do it with her because we were just having a conversation in a basement at a gig and wrestling came up and we talked for a solid half hour and almost missed our cue. So I knew then, like, this could be really something fun, and decided to come up with the Queens of the Ring together. And hopefully I think it's going to be really fun and it should pick up.
So are you guys going to turn this? I mean, already you have two episodes up on your YouTube channel, James Mansfield. But you guys are sort of hoping to launch this into its own full project.
Well, my YouTube channel, anyone that watches it, they realize, like, you have to be a fan of me in order to watch it. Because honestly, thank you. I don't narrow it down to just one thing. I talk about everything I want to talk about. So hopefully I can get some people from the wrestling community that want to watch it. And I've done enough. You know, I put enough footwork into the wrestling community on YouTube, like I've done Wrestling with Regret, Ring the Bell. Nobody's watching wrestling. Like, people are aware of it, and people know I have a strong opinion about it, and I have lots of things to say. So we'll see where it goes.
You're familiar with Cyndi Lauper's interest in wrestling. And
yes, I am.
You know, at one point in time, Cyndi Lauper and Madonna were seen as two entertainers fighting for the title of Queen of Pop.
Yeah. I think Cyndi kind of emerged on the scene first.
Yes, she predated Madonna with Borderline.
Just, yeah, she threw her down to the mat. But
and she left that battle with quiet dignity while the other one's still kind of floundering to find an identity. Mm.
But if it wasn't for Cyndi Lauper, you know, wrestling, the World Wrestling Federation that became World Wrestling Entertainment, and all this kind of interest in wrestling wouldn't be where it is today, because Cyndi Lauper really helped to mainstream wrestling and helped to sort of bridge that divide between this sort of, weirdo fringe sport into, you know, big bucks mainstream television.
Yeah, she kind of lent that kind of like Hollywood celebrity to the sport. You know, I guess she met Lou Albano on a plane flight, and they wanted somebody for her video. Girls Just Want to Have Fun, so she recommended
to play her father.
And so, you know, she played her father, and then she went on to do some kind of promotional stuff with him. And there was this one scene, you can watch it on YouTube, where he's trying to take credit for her career, and the host and this Lou Albano would be like, "Yeah, girls can't do anything," and so she just like attacks them, you know, and then eventually they have to drag her off the stage. But for us watching that for the first time, we just thought, my God, this is so unusual.
Yes, and the great thing about that Cyndi Lauper thing, I always thought no one ever mentions it, like the whole Wendi Richter Cyndi Lauper rock and wrestling connection, is that WrestleMania that she appeared on, it was the saving grace of it. Like, so Cyndi Lauper did indeed make that pay-per-view must watch TV, because you look at the card and you watch matches from it, it's really dull. And the women's match is the one that stands out the most because of Cindy's presence, but also it had the most interesting, construction to it.
And I wonder where her interest maybe if it came from, because Andy Kaufman, the comedian who played Lockjaw in Taxi, he started wrestling in the early 80s, women, and then he started this, they say it's one of the top moments on David Letterman's show in the top 20 is when Andy Kaufman and Lawler, who was his opponent, they started fighting, and it was like everything about that was staged as well. But again, too, is like growing up in this time period, we were always just kind of shocked because we grew up watching Saturday afternoon wrestling, or if it was on Sundays. But you know, I'm talking like old school, like Andre the Giant. This is the 70s. So when it kind of like hit mainstream with Andy Kaufman and then Cyndi Lauper, we were just like, wow, what's happening?
Well, there was a TV show that a lot of people have forgotten, but I still remember because it was a precursor to Fox News, actually. It was called Morton Downey Jr. Show, and it was syndicated, taped out of New Jersey. Not Robert Downey Jr., the actor, Morton Downey Jr. And the logo of the show was a giant mouth, and he would chain smoke and dismiss people, zip it. And the premises of the shows, usually, you know, he would try to get the guests to fight with each other. And in a very ridiculous way, usually resulting in physical confrontations. And so naturally, he would get, you know, black civil rights leaders fighting the KKK. Sexist people fighting women and
like the Madeline Murray O'Hare kind of circuit. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, wrestlers fighting each other who would spend the whole episode arguing, is wrestling real or is it fake? And a lot of the guests on the Morton Downey Jr. show was Captain Lou Albano and a lot of the Iron Sheik and Rowdy Rodney Piper. Who later went to star in his own film, a really great science film called They Live, where he just finds a pair of magic glass sunglasses where he can see that the Earth is being slowly taken over by space aliens who are all interested in getting human beings to consume themselves to death.
Wow.
So all this stuff.
Famous,
you know,
line. I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Yeah. Oh, that, what was the line? I'm here. What
to
is
chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Which is, you know, I'm surprised that, like, drag queens don't borrow more from wrestlers than they do.
Oh, honestly, like, especially, like, bringing up Jerry the King Lawler and those worked promos they did with Andy Kaufman. Jerry the King Lawler, one of the greatest people ever to talk on the microphone. Like, the things he could come up with on top of his head was incredible. It's the most hilarious shit you'll ever hear. But
so you think, you know, in the future, we're going to see a convergence of these two fields? Because it seems like that's just inevitable.
I mean, if you look at some of the things in wrestling's past, there have been a few overlays of drag. Never so much within the full-on polishness of a RuPaul's Drag Race superstar, but more or less, you know, a bro guy getting in drag for a few laughs.
Well, you had Goldust, who...
We had Goldust, yes.
And I think Goldust used cross-dressing and flirting with his male opponents as a form of psychological warfare.
Oh, yeah, the gay panic. It's been a big part of wrestling storytelling for years. Gorgeous George is another one that used to do that, where he'd incite the gay panic. He'd pinch the guy's ass when they're wrestling or grappling up with each other. That kind of stuff to, like, play on people's intolerances to get a rise out of the audience, to get them hot. That was the kind of stuff they did a lot back, especially in the 70s, 60s, and 50s. They always played on prejudices.
But one thing that I notice about wrestling versus, like, drag race is it seems like, you know, when people play on people's prejudices or inequalities, we really take things very, very seriously when it comes in drag. And... You know, and with wrestling, the fight is happening in the ring, but once the fight is over, it's like people kind of just forget about it.
It passes, but like it's different though, because with Drag Race, I'd say because the people that are participating in it are relatively gay and trans women, so it's like they have a long history of oppression. There's a long, torrid history of gay people and LGBT people. We've been through it, so when we're approached with those kind of divisive things, like that trigger people easily, it's a lot easier to get upset about it as opposed to a wrestling match where you don't really know if any of the wrestlers are gay. That's never something that's ever brought up or addressed.
We certainly fantasize about it.
Oh, we certainly do, especially nowadays. My goodness. But no, like, it's very much a hetero culture on wrestling. So that kind of stuff, it's a little easier to skip by because it doesn't have a very prominently known LGBT fan base or representation for that matter.
And it's straight, but it's also still very homoerotic, you know.
Of course.
It's these guys in little skimpy outfits with some flair, and they're hugging each other and they're up on each other, they're rolling around on the mat. So it's kind of like safe sex for straights.
Yes, and a lot of that was carried over from the 1970s when, believe it or not, the biggest amount of people in that audience were women. They would come to see these hot, hunky guys, stay afterwards, flirt. Like, it was a great culture that happened back then.
Oh, really? Women were the biggest fans of wrestling back then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Women, old ladies, we'd all be in the audience along with these young kids and teenage boys. It wasn't until the 90s that it sort of changed, and you saw the audience turn more into teenage boys and middle-aged men. And the women and girlfriends that would come along to these things that started to trickle out more, especially when you saw the rise of women's wrestling, where it was mostly them being exploited for their bodies or being put in contests that were very much not the most best to represent your female talents. Let's just put it that way.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, they're going through this big thing now called the Women's Evolution, which gives me a big kick because it's like, okay, you guys did it though. And now you haven't said sorry about it, but you had women doing evening gown matches where you have to tear their clothes off each other, bra and panties matches, wrestling and pudding. It's like you had them doing all this stuff and you never really owned up to it. But now we're liberating our girls. It's kind of weirdly sick and odd to watch now.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to say that, you know, women were like the big fans of this thing that's kind of like homoerotic, because, you know, when you look at like who actually buys and pays for gay porn, it's straight women for the most part. I mean, because gay guys either just rip it off or we're just a smaller community than straight women.
Or we make our own. Yeah.
We're some Tumblr queens now. We don't have to pay for porn anymore.
Yeah, baby. I'm you know, furiously, stroking it to Instagram. You're, and to me, I'm like, you know, it's such a great racket for Instagram, you know, for Facebook, because really, like, unless you're an Instagram celebrity, you're basically posting free content for Instagram so they can sell ads. And you
not even at Twitter, honey. Twitter, they give it all away.
Yeah, yeah. And it, and it's like, you know, and what are we getting out of it? You know, I guess you can buy your Just for Fans membership.
I mean, if you're smart, you just go to their Twitter and see them post the stuff from like their past when they recycle posts. My friend Eddie Danger, who does Just for Fans and all that stuff, he's explaining that to me. It's like, it's weird how people... he'll do porn, but then he'll see it posted up for free. And it's just like, well, what was the point of it then? Like, who's making money off of this anymore?
I guess the idea is to get you addicted, you know, emphasis on the dick, to them.
Or ass addicted.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
The pun. But, you know, the idea is that it's sort of like a drug dealer. You give the, you know, you get them hooked and then you know, make it available so they can get their fix easily of you, you know.
It
so
seems like someone a pretty like shoddy dealer, because most people can just get off watching the preview. They don't have to buy the whole thing.
Well, the thing is, though, too, is a lot of times for people who do porn nowadays, it's, you know, it's a calling card. They don't necessarily expect to make a whole lot of money just from that video. They want to make money from, you know, personal appearances in your bedroom.
Well, you know what I'm noticing a lot of these young porn stars are doing? One example is Jake Burton, who used to go by the name Stu on Sean Cody. Interesting enough, and I just kind of found about this today on his social media posts, he took all the money from his porn videos and just put it in a stock portfolio.
Oh, and good.
I guess he lives off of it. That's
what he said?
Well, I mean, he's inferring in his training. You know, I mean, it's kind of like what people ask us, like, how the hell do you do this? They're like, Mark and I work 6 different jobs and we have 7 different projects and we piecemeal everything together. And much like you guys do, you know, it's like, it's not like, you know, and I think for the future,
Just for Fans.
Well, you know, people have been asking me to do it Just for Fans, but I'm like, I just don't know if I want to cross that line. You know, I like a little bit of a mystery, a little bit of suspense.
You like the cheese, I get it. Yeah, the burlesque of it all.
But I do feel like when I get on, you know, Scruff or Grindr, that they should be paying us to be on it. And not the other way around. You know, it's like, I'm like, well, you're selling ads on this, so what am I getting out of this? I'm like sending my dick shots to guys in Europe and, you know, Asia and Latin America, and I'm like, I'll never meet them, you know, and I'm just like, well, it's fine if you want to, but to me, it's just like, I feel like in some ways, a lot of social media is a big racket.
I actually did a show in San Francisco, like I did my one woman show, and like somebody came on my meet and greet after and said like, yeah, I didn't really know the show was happening until I got on Grindr and it was advertised. I'm like, what? I'm on Grindr? Yes, I made it. This is great. Well,
who was pushing the show on it? Was it the venue?
Mama, you know it was Heklina. She put that together.
Oh, how is Heklina doing?
She was great. She was in Iceland when I went there, but I always talk to her here and there, and she's fabulous. I'm hoping to get back there in Christmas time.
Heklina's Icelandic, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah.
Her ancestors come from there.
I thought you said slime dick for a second.
Well, that like, too.
Have you caught Mark on the RuPaul's Drag Race knockoff Alt for Norga?
No, I need you to post more links of it so I can see it.
Just go to, you go to dplay.no.
So it's,
do I have to like install some kind of like virus protection in order to watch this, or is it
No. It's legit. Dplay, it's because it's from the Discovery Networks, right?
It's not porn.
And then NO stands for Norway. So you can watch the latest episode if you aren't registered. And
it's like the polar opposite of RuPaul's Drag Race, right? It's
do they not get in drag?
Nobody's in drag.
Well, we do put on bunads, the national costume.
But yeah, so the one episode they put on a costume, but everything else is very like ski jackets and, you know, Norwegian weather clothing. And it's all about them getting along with each other and sort of being very wholesome and learning about culture and language.
So it's a snooze fest, what you're saying?
Well, it's done by the same production company that does the Great Adventure? I'm forgetting these shows.
I don't know.
Amazing Race.
Thank you.
Is it?
It's Amazing Race and it's Discovery Network.
Well, the Discovery Network buys it from a company called Monster.
Monster
produces it. Monster does not do the Amazing Race.
Well, I will be sure to check it out just because Mark is on it.
I made it as far as Shea Coulee, let me just tell you that.
Oh, did someone pull the rose petals out on you last minute?
Well, we get to see. There's two more episodes left.
Two more episodes left.
And Mark's now developing a fan base in Norway.
Hey. So,
I went farther than the Vixen, farther than Dita Ritz.
But so Mark goes up to them and is like, I made further on my season than you. Just, you know, and they're like,
that's true. They don't talk.
But so the thing about it is, and Mark, I guess you can relate to the experience of sort of being sequestered to be on a reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, you guys can talk about this. What do people not get about being in that experience?
About being on a reality show?
Yeah, just like, you know, they take your cell phone, they, you know, isolate you, and then they just start throwing shit at you, you know?
Oh, right. Where, like, they lock you in a closet for about 2 weeks, and then with no light and food, and then you, like, emerge into lightness and say, "Mom, oh, no, that wasn't me. That was Patty Hearst." what actually, being alone in that hotel room is kind of trippy because, like, you're just alone with your thoughts and a notepad.
Mm-hmm. Did you always have your own hotel room?
I did. I had a fabulous hotel room. It was a double bed, and I would just take turns jumping from back and forth and sleeping in it because there was literally nothing to do. You couldn't take drag back with you to work on, so it's like, I was bored.
We often had to share rooms. We had our own rooms in the beginning, but then we sometimes had to sleep in tents. We slept in caves. We slept in houses. And so it was like, you know, so I was never, like, isolated. Like, you guys, at the end of the day, you were like, okay, you guys can't talk to each other.
But, in that cold weather, was there lots of snuggling?
No, not really. There wasn't any snuggling. I would have liked a little snuggling, but, you know, they were just not the snuggling type.
Do you guys feel like the animosity between contestants is something that people think is faked or planned? Like, we just talked about Vixen and
Eureka
sort of being pitted against each other, but that friction is genuine. And I think, you know, you and Dana seem to be coming out of this season as sort of, you know, butting heads with each other.
Well, yes, but it's also, you know, it's Norwegian, so it's all very, like, softly played, you know, and it wasn't that intense. And, you know, it was, you know, we did butt heads and stuff, and there was times that she drove me crazy, but it was also, too, is like, you know, I have genuine affection for her, and I'm sure she has genuine affection for me. And it's not like we get along, but we're just different personalities. She's somebody who's, you know, believes in, like, the energy of the universe and astrology and, and she would carry, like, a rock around because it had, and I'm just like, I'm not that person. I'm more science-based. I'm science-based, you know, and I like to think about things concretely.
Yeah, but your science is more Rocky Horror Picture Show than it is Cosmos.
Just 7
science
days.
Science fiction.
I can make you.
You're like,
man.
So how do I build this man in 7 days, and what can I do with him? Well, I mean, in terms of, like, the food on RuPaul's Drag Race, the first couple of seasons was rough, and from what I hear now, the contestants get pretty good catering.
Like, it was fine. I mean, we had snacks available all the time. It's just, you didn't want to eat it because it was all junk food, and dinner happened so late in the day, and it's usually like cold tender greens. And
and I heard from a lot of the girls too, is because it's like, you know, before they go on the show, they're working a lot, they're doing stuff, and, like, they're not necessarily, they're more active because, you know, they're running around and they don't necessarily have time to eat, but then they get on the show and it's just like, okay, I have time to eat. And so a lot of them have complained, like, oh my God, I gained so much weight on this season.
To the point that, like, towards the end of the season, and this happened with you too, you guys,
didn't fit.
Your clothes are tight. And there was a contestant.
Oh, Mark, I was saying, excuse you, I wasn't there for that long, you bitch.
No, I've heard Mark, from other ones,
Like, Mark, you feel like in all the contestants, you know, you had, like, access to alcohol, lots of food, and then
I think everybody came into our season looking better than when they left. Because it was just kind of like, you know, we didn't really move around a lot.
Sure.
You know, for me, I go to the gym a lot, I exercise. I also had that dog wound, so it was like that really inhibited, like, like what I could do, and I just, you know, I needed to rest. And then I was
dog drinking. Wound. I missed.
I got bit by a dog right 2 days before I went to Norway.
And was it Jesse?
No. It was at a dog park with Jesse, and Jesse was humping a dog. I'll post a video coming soon. And I pulled Jesse off the dog, and the dog just kind of turned, and I think I was just kind of like in the way. And so, yeah, it was. I had an open wound about 2 to 3 inches long the entire time I was in Norway.
So you were mauled by a dog and competing in a rat show competition. You're such a trooper.
I know. I really did it.
Well, you've seen the speculation of the next season of Drag Race, and the, you know, usually when they leak the contestants, you're like, oh, cool. I'm really excited about seeing that person or that person. This season, I'm like, I don't recognize anybody.
You don't? I recognize a lot of the girls. You do? Like, oh, yeah, I've worked with a lot of the girls and have good conversations. Like, I'd say there's some good eggs in that speculative live list.
When do you think they'll announce the list?
Oh, I don't know. I imagine the All-Stars thing is going to happen first.
Well, so for people who are like me, who don't tour with drag queens in, you know, Ireland, and what can we sort of expect from the next coming season based on what little knowledge we've seen leaked?
Well, again, I can't speak intelligently on it because I'm not, like, you know, bosom buddies with any of these speculative people. But from what I've heard, you're going to
speculative-wise, though.
Oh, yeah, you're going to see lots of great lip syncs, lots of great lip syncers in that bunch.
But I mean, like, you know, the Vixen and Eureka dominated last season. Certainly, you know, Bob the Drag Queen and Bianca Del Rio dominated their season. You know, Detox and Alaska and Roxy Andrews' Friendship dominated their season. Is there any sort of overlying theme or trend that we can see incorporated into the next season of Drag Race?
As far as it goes, and I think it's actually in the cast's favor, is like, I don't know what to expect, which is great because it brings more surprises. Mm-hmm. When it's really predictable, I feel like a TV show is never enjoyable.
Yeah, that's the thing that's been bugged me about the move to VH1 is that it felt, at least the last two seasons, has felt more formulaic than the past.
I feel like it was a fairly smooth transition. I think they found their footing now. I mean, with my season, it was sort of like a second pilot.
Yeah.
They had to basically retool everything for a more mainstream audience as opposed to what you could get away with on a smaller network like Logo.
Well, you worked with Lady Gaga.
Like we're comrades, you know, we're colleagues now.
You stood next to her as she said, I'm a drag queen too.
she read me for her hair not being accurate, yeah.
I'm sure you got to see A Star Is Born, which...
I haven't yet, no.
Well, rumors are that they're going to get nominated for an Oscar, or some, at least for the music, which means that for the first time, drag queens, besides RuPaul, are getting to go to the Oscars. So Willem and Shangela are going to be attending the Oscars if they want to go.
So anybody that's in any movie that's nominated for an Oscar is allowed to go?
At least the main cast, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's when Color Purple was nominated. Not only that, if you're nominated yourself, for the rest of your life, you get to go to the Oscars.
Oh, wow. Word.
Oh, that's and why opera... Revived as a movie now. The musical is being turned into a movie.
What's being turned into a movie?
The Color Purple musical. They're going to turn the musical into a movie now. So good for Allie Willis. Now they check the cash.
Well, all right, Allie. Make that coin.
Just bring back some of those Quincy Jones songs. My goodness.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking. And you see everybody in the audience going, what is it? The song, you know, Sister, you're on my mind. Oh,
that
sister.
Good old Tata Becca. Yes, the sister.
That song isn't nowhere in the musical, and it's like everybody's waiting for it to happen, and you're like, oh. But it's a fun show to see. It's very different from the film.
Oh yeah, it's completely different. Like, it's interesting to see how they take something that's very hard subject matter to make it joyous. It's interesting. It's great to see how they managed to pull that off.
Well, they sort of show the evolution of the Miss Seeley's character taken from sort of rags to riches, literally. I don't want to give too much of it away if you're planning on seeing it, but, you know, she fashion liberates her, literally.
Work.
So that's really exciting. Hey, I wanted to ask you, what's your connection with Scott Herman? Because I noticed that you guys like each other's Instagram photos.
You like my photos? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I know you're, like, definitely a fan of his. And, you know, because there's so many hunks on the internet. What's your connection with Scott?
Honestly, with Scott, I'm just a fan. I mean, I didn't realize he liked my photos. Now it just opens up a whole new world of possibilities and opportunities for me.
You're like, it's all about me again. No, but so, I mean, with Scott Herman, he's somebody who is a pioneer on YouTube as a fitness instructor and certainly like gotten a lot of people actually to building better bodies for themselves.
Oh, he's fabulous. I actually learned about him through your guys' podcast. That's how I learned about
really?
Him.
Really?
Yeah, that's,
oh, that's way back.
I ever would know who he was is because he was on Feast of Fun.
Oh,
he just wrote to me the other day and sent it his best wishes. He got married to his girlfriend Erica, and so they're happily married. And I didn't ask, "Are you having kids or not?" That's the rudest question you can ask married couples.
When well, do you I have don't kids? Need to hear about my enemy's, you know, triumphs. She got Scott.
You know, if you ever get to meet Erica, I haven't met her personally, but, you know, interacted with her on social media and from other people that I know, she's actually lovely.
She's a perfectly lovely girl. Just stay away from my man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sexy Scott Herman. I was looking for him in the Halloween costume shop because he was the model for a Star Trek uniform, but I think that they're not selling those
anymore. They discontinued that costume because it was the original reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe since then, they've moved on
like
to other looks.
Elvira.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's like every now and then you like see somebody you know in the Halloween costume model category. And somebody who gets used a lot in stock photography is she was first eliminated from her season on Drag Race.
Porkchop?
No, the tall one with the who has turkeys in her backyard.
Oh. Tempest
du Jour. She did all this stock photography modeling for years.
She did.
And so every now and then you see Tempest du Jour in an ad for something that has a big
so
crazy
weird.
Drag queen. Yeah.
It's kind of like when Drag Race had that drag emulator. It was all Mimi I'm First modeled costumes.
Wasn't that weird? Yeah. Yeah. So what else is going on in the drag world right now? I mean, it's off season. Everybody's excited for All Stars 3.
Well, it's really the put up or shut up time for girls because it's the time of the year where nothing's happening. So you have to make things happen. Everyone's got their one woman shows going or, you know, trying to cook up what their next tour is going to be. That's what I'm in the middle of right now.
Well, just around the corner is the next season of Cooking with Drag Queens.
Is it finally returning?
It's finally returning
and we got can we announce
some
of the contestants?
Mm-hmm.
We have Peaches Christ.
Yay.
Love her.
T.S. Madison.
Woo!
I've been like saying the names. I'm like, really? We do?
Erica Clash
from Dragula.
Oh my god, what is she gonna I want to ask. I'll
Disasterina.
Hater, but no, I love Liz Asterina.
And Jade.
No.
Jade Sotomayor and Monica Beverly Hills.
Woo!
And yes, also Rosita. From Camp Wanakiki.
Muffy Fish Basket.
And more.
We have a couple more. We've still got to do, I think, one or two more. But yeah, the other ones are kind of, they're all filmed and just putting the finishing touches.
The touches, the tips. We're putting the.
You got to get Dear Ruthie in there. She's a good cook.
For people who are wanting to get on the show, and you've been on the show. You had
an amazing experience.
But well, you know, like, what advice would you give to a drag queen who's going to be on a procedural show like Cooking with Drag Queens, or where you have to make something?
Oh, on Cooking with Drag Queens. Yeah. Well, I would recommend just piping up and speaking as much as possible, more so than you usually do, because you'll get run over by the two hosts.
So you feel like it's easy to sort of get lost in the background.
Oh, I'm just joshing you guys. If anything,
I really want you to give good advice because you're actually very supportive and very sweet, and actually you help a lot of drag queens. And if you're ever in a situation where you're, you know, on Martha Stewart or Cooking with Drag Queens, where you're making something in front of a camera, like, that's very different than, say, being in a competition or, you know, being in a on Drag Race where you're not making something in front of the camera.
Well, again, if you're a drag queen, like a lot of other queens I've known that have been on it, where your only cooking experience is pressing down on a Pop-Tart, I would say, you know, no matter how ignorant you are with cooking, don't worry. You have capable people helping you, and make sure you don't wear press-on nails like I did, or I'll end up in the batter.
I think that's half the fun, though.
Yeah, it's fun to see drag queens, like, their hair getting mixed up and stuff, you know, their jewels falling off into it.
And for the record, we don't eat, if like something falls into the batter,
I knew it,
we throw it away. Like, we don't go, oh, well, maybe you won't swallow that nail. Like, if we fear, and you know, there's people watching it, so if something goes wrong, we do have a backup cake. That's kind of our joke.
These girls have worked in a hamburger Mary's. They're used to losing an acrylic nail on a burger at this point in their career.
And I guess they're casting season 2 of Camp Wanakiki.
Oh, are they? I
was actually on there, and you were supposed to be on the season with me as a guest judge.
Yes, I couldn't do it. I was in Provincetown with my one-woman show.
So I guess I'm asked, for people who want to get on Camp Wanakiki, I think the thing they want to see, and I can't speak for them because they're, you know, the Sugar Baker twins, but from what I saw is they want strong looks and they want a very clear personality. And at the same time,
Eagle Scout, I imagine it helps too.
What?
If you were an Eagle Scout at some point in your life, that probably helped too.
So yeah, like actually camping for real will help you.
I mean, from the looks of it, they had them doing some for real camping challenges I would have never been able to do.
It was hard. I got to tell you, you really are camping. You're not, people think like, oh, they're in a hotel and then they go drive to the camp that day. No, you're sleeping next to, you know, Muffy Fishbasket and Alexis Bevels and, you know, Olasia.
Imagine how they smell. Yeah. Ooh.
And they're, you know, next to you and you're, you know, bring earplugs. Mark said that on your season, what helped you sleep well was earplugs and
eye masks, man. Eye masks. You need it when you travel.
Because you're sleeping next to the contestants, and I think psychologically that can affect you.
Yeah, you want to
just getting a good night's sleep.
Yes, you want to fall asleep. You don't want to be disturbed.
You want to shut them out.
And the other thing, too, is I mean, you know,
wouldn't the eye mask you wear
out
disturb the people? It doesn't have the little, like, doohickey on the mouth, too, and stuff? Oh, never mind. Sorry.
But, you know, and just have an open mind and be playful and you know, understand that this show is developing. So, you know, if you can present new ideas and information in a way that they're able to hear it, I think is constructive. But understand, at the end of the day, you're a guest in somebody's home and behave like a guest. You know, it's like nobody pays you to go to someone's house for dinner. When you're a guest on someone's reality TV show, you know, just be grateful and enthusiastic about the experience. I think a lot of drag queens do get bogged down with, you know, anticipation and resentment, and they want this to be something bigger. They want it to be compensated in a way that they feel like they're being used for the experience. And, you know, to some degree, it's there is a lot of compromise being made, but this is a decision that you made, and you have to ask yourself, why am I getting on the show? Why do I want to be on the show?
Well, ultimately, the show is just a boosting point for yourself if you're smart about the way you approach it. No matter what it is, it's like what you do afterwards of the show is completely your power. You're in charge of changing your own narrative. I sure did.
No, I mean, you know, and I always say, like, some of the best interviews that we've done with girls from Drag Race are the ones who got first eliminated.
Well, you have to work twice as hard because you don't get the same breaks that a lot of people do. Mm. Not to fault them for their talents or how far they got to justify anything. It's just, that's just the way the world works. You have to work twice as hard now and show people what you can do that you didn't get a chance to show on a TV show.
What do you make of this whole thing where Willem's going around saying, telling people about how he got into this fight with RuPaul in a parking lot? Have you been paying attention to this at all?
Is this one of those, like, drama channels, like, reports the news on YouTube, or is that really the source you want to go from?
Well, I think it comes straight from Willem's mouth. He did some kind of program and talked about how he and Ru were yelling, because I guess Matthew Anderson is ill and in the hospital, and he's saying that he's mad because Ru won't go and visit him. And I don't even know if it's appropriate for us to even bring this up, because it's, you know, people's private business.
Well, I don't know either one of them, and I certainly don't know the story, so I can't really speak intelligently on the matter. So
okay, well, let's just forget about it. We'll table it for another time.
I'll say this. I trust people are doing the best thing possible, mm-hmm. and I don't see any reason why RuPaul would intentionally want to harm Matthew Anderson. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who is part of your family.
Yeah.
And when, you know, illness, conflict, disagreements happen, the best thing you can do when you see two people that you care about deeply separating or having trouble is you want to support them. And supporting them means to trust that they're doing the best that they can and to see them with the lens of kindness and compassion.
Okay.
That was very beautifully put, Boston.
That's very good.
You know. And, you know, and I'm sure that they're doing the best that they can, you know, and if Matthew Anderson wants to speak up or somebody else other than Willem Belli, who goes on fucking, you know, a Richard Simmons podcast that's stalking Richard Simmons, leave Richard Simmons alone.
Richard Simmons, where'd she come from?
There was a podcast for a while that was come out for a hot minute, and it was basically a paparazzi podcast. It was stalking Richard Simmons in a very unethical, ugly way.
It got super popular, and a lot of people really liked it. I listened to a little bit of it, and I just couldn't because it just seemed so invasive into somebody's life, and it was
of course leave this Richard alone. Yeah. She ain't hurting nobody. She just wants to work it out to the oldies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the issue was, you know, was Richard Simmons being held hostage against his own will, and as celebrities and entertainers, you know, we certainly heard some nightmare stories about Casey Kasem, for example, where his his girlfriend was his new wife was separating him from the rest of his family, causing all sorts of commotion and heartache. And
Same thing with Dasha Gabor and her husband and her daughter. It's kind of happened there too. And it's one of those tight family. Yeah. When she was dying, like she was being
sick for a long time, right?
Yeah. Her daughters weren't able to see her, and they're blaming it on her husband.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. You know, it's like, maybe, you know, it's like fame is not such a thing you might want to desire, you know?
Hers is so sad. Like her daughters would go out publicly saying, you know, like he would dare to have her photograph without any makeup or hair done to her, something she would never want. It's like, as a drag queen, that hits to home right there. Like, I can't imagine.
Well, it is interesting that the few moments we've ever seen you out of drag has been with us or Drag Race. Like, I never see you out of drag anywhere on social media, anywhere.
I emulate Lady Bunny in that regard. I like to keep a level of privacy to myself and let people enjoy the clown.
Oh, you got a new pair of tits.
I sure did. I actually heard about them through Cassandra Fever from your podcast. She mentioned that.
What is it? There's boobs for queens, which is the expensive one.
Oh, honey, there's a whole menagerie of titty bibs now.
And so yours was sort of like the perfectly priced and a feat, you know, like that's the one to get? The one you got?
They were like, they had their setbacks. Like, I got some serious neck trauma from that. Like, they were heavy, but they broke, so I had to get a new pair. So honestly, the simplest way to go about it is find a new pair of tits and try and find something that's more economically friendly.
And for drag queens who are trying to get started, who are looking to look like awesome, beautiful, gorgeous, you know, RuPaul ready drag queens, I think actually your tutorials are really great because you don't just cover makeup. You cover things like photo retouching and sewing a bodysuit and making your own gloves and styling a wig. And I think that actually your YouTube channel is one of the better ones that, is not as celebrated as it should be, because it's really very useful. In fact, as a photo retoucher, I've actually learned things from your channel.
Oh, thank you. My boyfriend and me, we decided to structure it that way, because like the way I approach drag, what frustrated me about channels and tutorials when I was coming up was they were always so confrontational and just not very nice with their approach. They weren't very open-minded to newbie queens. They're always kind of talking down to you. Mm-hmm. And I never liked that. I like to be more inviting. I like to encourage, and I like to let people know, like, it doesn't matter how terrible you look. It's all about the passion you have for it. Whatever brought you there, whatever brought you to this is wonderful and is valid. And that's all that matters. The fact you love drag is all that matters to me.
That's very well said. James Mansfield, keep on battling, knocking him down with your good looks and your sweet little giggles.
Aww. Oh, thank you, Fast Joe.
Oh my God. It's like, do you just have a can of helium next to you? And then that's what you like.
Everyone always asks that. Like, no, like I just can slip in and out of it from doing puppetry for so many years. And I can only squeak when I talk like the voice.
Did you?
I can't do it on command.
You're so into puppets. Did you get a chance to check out that Netflix special, the Curious Creations of Christine McDonald?
I have not yet. It looks adorable. Yeah. I'm kind of puppeted out from Provincetown. That was my whole show. So, I mean, I don't want to look at a puppet for a while.
Oh, really? You have puppet madness?
Yes, puppet madness, you could say. I'm recovering. I'm in recovery right now.
You're aww. Like, I don't want to see any more fake fur or styrofoam for a long time.
Sometimes I just want to be the star.
Ew. So, can you say, sometimes you get really horny?
I ask that every time. I always forget what that is from.
That's Tracy Tyler.
Tracy Tyler.
She was a guest on our podcast that she'd be like, I want something salty.
I didn't realize that I was going to be so horny. And we're like, oh my God, Tracy, I adore you.
I love you guys. It's one of the things that always makes me smile when I hear it. You can't help but smile.
Yeah. To me, it's like, it's to the point that I forgot where it came from. And somebody was asking me the other day. I was like, I don't remember. And it was like, you know how sometimes like a joke gets repeated so often that you forget the source of it, you know?
Oh, you should talk to Meatball sometime. That's her forte.
Oh, is she? Oh, really? Is she just like repeat jokes till they?
Oh my God, lose she's their criminal. Meaning. The way she'll beat a joke to the point where it's not funny, then it's funny again. I wish I had that talent.
Well, any girl that's named after a delicious meatball. Italian entree is so yeah. With T.S. Madison, we're making fried spaghetti balls, and we're using leftover spaghetti and doing a brand new dish with it.
I feel like you cooked spaghetti with her last time.
That's right. So this is the sequel.
So she had her family recipe for spaghetti that literally would have fed an army. So we had to actually pare that down because we're like, this would never fit into a pot. And so we just pretended like we had so much left over. We're like, what do you do when you have leftover spaghetti? You make spaghetti balls.
Have you ever fried pasta after the fact?
Have I ever fried it? I actually usually work in a pizza restaurant, and that's what they used to do with the oil in the pan is fry up all the pasta from it. It's fucking delicious. Now I'm hungry. Thank you.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you guys ever get a chance, boil yourself up some tortellini and then, you know, rinse it, get it nice and dry, and then heat up some oil and fry that motherfucker, honey. That is some good eating, and it's great appetizers. They're crunchy and chewy and cheesy.
And they're cheap.
And cheap as hell, yeah. And you throw them on the side with a little marinara sauce as dipping. It's like, you're in business.
Great. Now I'm hungry. Thank you, guys.
Let's go eat something. Yeah. Do you want to come out to eat with us?
Oh, yeah. Let's go eat something.
I wish you were closer.
We'll meet halfway. We'll meet in Kenosha.
We'll go to the Oasis together. Eat some Kentucky Fried Chicken with Taco Bell.
Girl, I'm always down for some fried chicken. There's a truck stop here that we go all the time called Crispy Crunchy Chicken. And they think it's cute because they spell it with, like, you know, K's in it.
And it's just wrong.
It's wrong. It's offensive. It's stupid. And yet the chicken is delicious. Best fried chicken in Chicago. And you ask anybody who knows about fried chicken in this area, they will tell you Crispy Crunchy Chicken is unbelievably good. And it's run by a Latino family. They're like, you know, we just fry this chicken. We don't know what, you know, we don't want no trouble in here. But I was in there and there was a woman and she was like fighting with the guy who worked behind the counter. Were you there when I was there buying fried chicken? And she was this woman. She's like, tell Pablo to come out here right now. He needs to come home now. And she was like fighting. I was like, we broke up. You and I were no longer together. And she was like, this woman was like telling Pablo to come home with her
to quit his job.
It's like eating in your own kitchen. That's fabulous.
It was, it was really wild, and I was like, maybe I should come back another time, but the chicken's so good, you know. It's a tough scene.
Okay, well, the chicken's good. That'll be worth it.
So what's coming up next for this weekend for you? Because you're performing out and about.
I'll be all up and down Milwaukee, and come December, I'll be doing a Christmas show in New York. Starfleet cast, Peppermint, Alexis Michelle, you name it, Sherry Vine.
Yeah, you were with Alexis Michelle. She's the drag queen who was mad at people for not telling her she looked bad.
Well, I would have told her that I was there. I mean, if that's all she wanted to hear.
I'd be happy to tell her anytime. Alexis Michelle, you look like shit.
Michelle, you sure is ugly.
Yeah.
So, no, but she wanted to talented queen. Come on. Her Liza was fantastic.
Have you guys interviewed her yet?
No. We reached out to her, but never heard back from her.
Well, I'll tell her to get on the horn with you guys, because you'd love her. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, that's great.
I won't tell her she looks bad.
You're doing a Christmas show in New York City with Alexis Michelle, Sherry Vine.
Peppermint.
Oh, my God.
And there's a lot of great names in this. It's fabulous. You don't want to miss it.
Who else is in it? Sherry Vine. Pandora Box.
Oh, shoot. You're asking me to name the cast off the top of my head, which is the worst, because I'm a Steva.
I'm trying to take up time so you get a chance to Google it. So you can be like, this is who it is.
Your heart? You gotta ever be that prepared.
You're like, Google
the audience will be happy to know the fact that I'm a diva and don't know anyone else's name.
No, you named the important ones. All the other queens that you didn't name don't matter.
Well, they're playing trees.
Okay.
Well, you remember when Michelle Visage was on the podcast and I asked her to name the contestants from the next season? What was it? We were like, she was naming, because they already announced the contestants. And so she was talking about them, and I counted, and I was like, you named about seven people, so the other people that she forgot their name get eliminated early.
And sure she's enough, been doing this for a long time, okay?
It's hard to keep track of all these queens, you know? Like, I was on Camp Wanakiki, and half of them, I was just like, it was easy to remember them because Sylvia had the red hair.
Yeah, they had to stay in the same costume the whole time, yeah.
And Dominique was the pinkening, so she was pink. And, of course, we know Muffy, we know Kevy. Alaysia had the black pom-poms.
Yep, with the JJ. The JJ.
The cunt with the cunt.
She had a very pronounced mound.
A mound. And then there was the Pagan Holiday, who had this gorgeous purple hair.
Who you'd love to talk to if you want to talk wrestling. She actually was a wrestler in Portland in drag.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it was a really it was a very special week for me to be able to spend with those girls and picking bugs out of our wigs and
wigs, teeth, and all other places.
Teeth and knees, you know, avoiding the rain and the insects and the climate.
Did you pitch any tents?
I didn't, you know, I was lucky because I got my own cabin. And I wasn't supposed to get my own cabin. So,
did you want a bet or something?
Well, no, I just got there when they were filming, and so I just sat up in a cabin and just kept quiet about it. And then a couple days later, they're like, "Oh well."
Okay, so you were squatting in a cabin, is what I was
squatting hearing. in Camp Wanakiki. and the queens didn't realize that I was going to be in drag for it. So when they actually saw me, they were kind of shocked.
As were we all. I wasn't expecting that.
You didn't? When you saw it, what the fuck is this shit?
I was thinking we were going to get the full Daddy Fausto with the thirst trap and the shirtlessness and all of that.
I know. It is sort of weird. I'm covered in fur and you can't see. Work out really hard at the gym, get a great body, and then cover it all up.
Well, what's interesting, they just wanted him to be like Fausto out in the woods, and they were just going to call him a bear. And then he was just like, well, I might as well just dress as a bear.
No, I was like, this is too much fun. I want to have fun, too. It's Camp Wanakiki, you know? You want to get into it.
I'm glad you did. It's always fun seeing you resurrect Faustina. Or is that not your name anymore? Saltina?
People can call me whatever they want. I'm fine. I'm gender non-binary in the sense, if female pronouns work for you, go for it.
Work, Diva. And is Mark still Daphne Dumont?
From time to time.
I think we're overdue for a sequel to Forced Feminization.
Well, who are you going to feminize?
Well, we need a blonde sidekick to do it with us.
Oh,
do you know of any?
I'm sure Love Connie's not doing anything right now.
Who? No. Did you say Kanye?
No, Connie. You guys know Love Connie? She was in Alaska's video. She's fab. Ooh. She looks like Laura Dern and Drake.
Ooh. I was talking about maybe someone more famous, more glamorous, with nicer tits.
Ooh.
Oh, I wonder who that could be.
I don't know.
She was someone who has a really high voice, but can...
I would do it in a heartbeat. You guys know that.
That's Planet. Let's Planet Janet Schmanet. We just have to get a good angle, because, like, the last two was us beating up Daphne Dumont.
I mean, I'm sure there's a certain section of Craigslist that appreciated it.
And she's kind of like the Curly from the Three... It's kind of like the Three Stooges, but drag queens, right?
Mm. I mean, I don't think I could ever replace VMR, but I'd be happy...
Yeah, you have to be like the shemp. Like, just bring a different ingredient to the mix, but so that people don't go like, oh, she's just trying to upstage Victoria Lamar.
Which could never be done.
One of the greatest drag queens who ever lived. Rest in peace, Victoria Lamar. We love you. She's looking down at you from heaven and smiling. I say, don't take my gig, you bitch.
Dead or alive, she'd still want it. I love that.
James Mansfield, keep on trucking, honey. We love you.
Aw, thank you, boys, so much. Now get off my phone.
Goodbye, darling.
Bye.
Thank you, love you. Bye.
James Mansfield lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Just
north over the border here.
She's going to be traveling your way. And go check her out on YouTube. James Mansfield with a J-A-Y-M-E-S Mansfield.
Mm-hmm. And I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
It's great to hear from you guys. We have a secret podcast that we tape every week. That's available for our premium subscribers. If you go to feastoffun.com/plus, where you get a behind-the-scenes look at Feast of Fun. Follow us on social media at Instagram, Feast of Fun, Twitter, Feast of Fun, Facebook, Feast of Fun. And you can ask us questions, and we'll answer it in our secret podcast.
And don't forget to check me out on my Norwegian reality TV show, Alt for Norge. And you can do that at dplay.no.
And then, you know, Alt for Norge is show there.
This is one of the top shows there.
It's wild that's one of reality. What is it? Norway's top reality TV show won their equivalent of an Emmy last year.
Yeah, won an Emmy last year. And hopefully we'll win an Emmy again this year. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I could be on I'm already on an Emmy award winning show.
Yeah.
You know, but I want my season to win one.
That would be great.
Maybe my troll dick episode will win an Emmy.
Troll peeking. Pick
we'll
that
see.
Troll, honey. Yeah.
And so you can watch the latest episode. And I think if you register, you can watch the whole season.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Feast of Fun. I'm Fausto Fernooks.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.